Dear congregation, it's no news to you that our country has a terrifying debt problem. The amount of debt that we are daily accumulating is staggering. And even in recent weeks, economists and politicians, the wise and the powerful, seem to huddle together to seek for a solution. And the one that they have most often chosen over the past few years is to raise the debt ceiling. And time again, as our nation's expenses climb and climb and reach whatever ceiling we've imposed upon ourselves in the past, we create this new one. And all the while, our country goes on spending, spending, spending. We're like this gambler who promises just to spend just a little bit more, and then he will stop. We seem addicted to spending. But this is also no news to you that the financial problem our nation is facing at the present hour is only really a symptom of a larger and deeper problem, a moral and a spiritual problem, a problem which the Bible has a word for that none of us like, but cuts to the heart. It's idolatry, worshiping things, stuff, which Satan dangles before our eyes and says to us, this will give you happiness. But a promise that he can never deliver on and never does deliver on. And this idolatry makes us delusional. We keep spending thinking the problem will somehow go away. And really, and you all know this, the problem is not the debt ceiling. Because really, debt should be the ceiling. And how we need the Lord to rein us in and bring us to our senses and make us realize that unless there is a thoroughgoing reformation and awakening from the inside out, we will plummet off the cliff that nations throughout history have seen, and once they have gone over it, never to return. Once we begin to serve our idols, they demand more and more and more of us, all the while binding us to themselves, and the end thereof is destruction and death. But America is not the first nation to go down this path of idolatry and self-destruction. The Bible tells us very honestly how the nation of Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament, pursued exactly the same path. It's eerie how they did so when we compare it to what is going on today. Step by step, the Lord points out how the human heart, left to itself, is bent on idolatry. And when it pursues that path, it cannot but end in death. And this is what the Lord shows us also tonight. But He doesn't just show us this. He shows us what He can do. Still today, for America, but also in your and my life very personally. And we wish to see it with God's help from the text this night, Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Our theme tonight is help for a bankrupt people. We'll see three steps First of all, we need to bow under the truth of the problem. We need to secondly turn away from all other saviors. And thirdly, we need to seek help in the Lord. Help for a bankrupt people. We need to bow under the truth of the problem, turn away from all other saviors, and seek help in the Lord alone. First of all, then, to bow under the truth of the problem. The prophet Hosea, as you may well know, was sent by the Lord to the nation of Israel in the 8th century BC, during the days of Jeroboam II, about 200 years after Jeroboam I. And the people of Israel had gotten themselves deeper and deeper into a spiritual and moral morass, with all sorts of political and financial aspects as we see around us today. And yet the Lord did not leave this people entirely to themselves, but He raised up prophets, Amos and also Hosea, during this generation to call the people back to Himself. And Hosea was made a very special sign in his life. He was called to marry a woman, Gomer, who proved to be an adulteress, turning to other lovers. And Hosea the prophet had to endure everything that came along with that as a sign of what the Lord was enduring with His people in their unfaithfulness to Him. And yet, like the Lord was doing with His people, Hosea was commissioned to gain this bride, His bride, back once again, patiently, persistently, lovingly, at a great personal cost to Himself. And the way He sought to do this with Gomer was a message of what the Lord was seeking to do with His unfaithful people, Israel. And the prophet Hosea's message was really twofold. On the one hand, there was the emphasis on sin. You have left Me, Your real, Your first, Your true husband, O Israel. And secondly, return unto Me, for I am your Savior. And really in chapter 13, when you read it, these themes keep returning in the various verses. In verses 1 through 8, Hosea speaks to Israel. There's really two sections there. First, verses 1 through 3. In which Hosea pictures Israel with a good beginning and yet with a terrible end. Let's look at that a minute, what Hosea says. He says, first of all, when Ephraim, that stands for Israel, the main tribe in the north, in northern Israel, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. What the Lord is saying there is in former times when the fear of God was there in Israel, in Ephraim, when they spake trembling, when there was that real regard for Me and for My statutes and for My covenant, when there was that holy fear and trembling with respect to Me, their God, then the nation exalted itself. It was at a remarkable height, but sadly it fell from that height. It became at ease with itself and proud where it was in life and filled with all the blessings that God had laid in upon them, and yet they took them for granted and they ascribed them to themselves. How true it is, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Oh, how we need that true fear of God in our hearts as a nation, but also as individuals, as a congregation, as professing people of God in this world, that we would fear God more than man, that we would fear to sin against Him, that we would speak trembling. Well, how we would exalt ourselves if that was us once again. But Israel became fat. They ascribed their blessings to themselves. They turned to idols, to the golden calves, first with Jeroboam the first, remember, in Dan and Bethel. They said farewell to David and to his house, to King Rehoboam, the descendant of David. And eventually it wasn't just the golden calves, but it became Baal. Baal, the god of the Canaanites. Baal, who promised prosperity and pleasure and everything that your heart may desire. And with Ahab and Jezebel and other kings, they went rapidly down this path of idolatry. Oh, how fast they were heading down towards the precipice. And early on, they had showed so much promise. And yet it would all evaporate, as Hosea says in verse 3. They would be like the morning cloud and like the early dew. That promises something, especially in the Middle East. When you see that morning cloud, you think, good, we're going to have rain today in the barrenness of the wilderness. Israel showed promise, just like America showed so much promise in former times. And yet it all evaporated into nothing, like the early dew and like the morning cloud. That's verses 1 through 3. And then in verses 4 through 8, Hosea turns to the Lord Himself. Did the Lord then do anything wrong to His people? No. He took them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness. He provided manna to feed them by day, and water from the rock. All their wants were supplied in their God. And yet the people exalted themselves. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten Me, the Lord laments. And so because of this, we come then to our text where the Lord says that they have destroyed themselves. Just before that, mind you, he threatens them, and he does it in a very picturesque way. Children, you can even understand this. He says, I will go after you, Israel, as a lion, as a leopard that is looking to see and to find and to leap on her prey. As a bear robbed of his whelps, so I will be with respect to you, O Israel. These are his threatenings of exile and the punishments that would come upon them. But before they come upon Israel, he yet declares to them, here in our text, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And what the Lord is doing here to them and to us is he's showing us the real problem. The real problem. And really, it's threefold here, three things we need to see about this problem. First of all, sin kills. Sin is never an innocent thing. It's not so that a little sin is harmless, but only when it grows bigger and bigger, it becomes a dangerous thing. No, sin kills. Small sins kill. They destroy our souls. We can never sin cheaply. Sin ruins us still today. In every sin, no matter how small, there's the seeds of self-destruction. We never sin cheaply. That, first of all, sin kills. Thou hast destroyed thyself. But secondly, the Lord is saying to the people here, Israel, things are desperate. The Lord doesn't say to Israel, you are in a bad situation, a bad case. And if you continue the way you are going, you will destroy yourself. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Israel, you have imploded, as it were. You have hit the self-destruct button in your life through your sin. Things are desperate. They are beyond hope from your side. You have destroyed yourself. To just give you a picture, it's not as if the Lord is saying, Israel, the boat of your nation has a few holes in it. Neither is he saying, Israel, your boat is half sunk. No, he's saying, Israel, you have destroyed yourself. You have suffered shipwreck in your maddening course over the seas of life. And you are bobbing up and down on the sea. And you're ready to destroy yourself entirely. You have destroyed yourself. And unless something comes from outside of you, you will, and you have really destroyed yourself. Things are desperate. Sin kills. Things are desperate. And thirdly, you are to blame. Israel, you have destroyed yourself. It's not even your idols that have destroyed you. It's not your leaders, your kings, your princes, your priests that have destroyed you. Israel, you have destroyed yourself. Congregation, this is where the Lord begins. He doesn't throw out a rescue buoy to these people there in their self-destruction right away. He wants his people to know what the problem is, what the real problem is. It isn't just that they've had a bad harvest. It isn't just that they haven't prayed enough to Baal. It isn't just that they've had the wrong kings in their life. Israel, you have destroyed yourself. Any remedy, any solution does not make any sense unless we come to realize what the real problem is. And that's why God sends his prophets. And they point their finger right at David. And they say, thou art the man. Or like Hananiah with King Asa, thou hast done foolishly. And so to hear Hosea with Israel, he says, Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. If America is to ever see glory days once again, if we as a nation are ever going to recover ourselves with God's help, if you and I are ever going to see better days through grace, it is that the Lord has to first of all burn upon our hearts that sin kills, that things are desperate, and that we are to blame. In politics, everyone is blaming the other. It all started with the Bush era, we hear. Or it all is because of Obama's spending spree. But ultimately, congregation, though we can point to certain failed policies that we should have known from the beginning that they were failed and doomed to fail, we as a nation have destroyed ourselves. And if the finger pointing continues outward and never becomes inward, any solution is going to be inadequate. It's only going to be a temporary fix at best. Oh, we love by nature to point the fingers at others and to blame them for our problems. You know, that's what man does by nature. It's interesting. Man by nature thinks the problem is outside of himself and the solution is within himself. If only people stopped doing this, and if only I can muster the strength and the energy, if only I can read more books and educate my mind, oh, then there will be a solution. The truth of the matter is, the problem is within ourselves. And the solution is outside of ourselves. As we see in our second point, we need to turn away from all other saviors. Because after the Lord has set forth what the real problem is, He says in the words of our text, "But in me is thy help." And in the original, those words "in me" are emphasized. They're right up front and they're stated in a way that is with emphasis. It says as if Hosea is saying here on behalf of the Lord, "Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thy help." In me. The Lord is pointing to Himself as the only and as the real Savior of His people. And He needs to do this, congregation, because Israel and America today as well is looking for all sorts of solutions, all sorts of saviors all around us and within us. You can read it in the passage, for example, in verse 10, where the people say, "Give us a king, give us princes, that they may save us in our cities." They look to their leaders to solve their predicament for them. And beyond their leaders, they looked at the nations all around them. You can see this in surrounding chapters. They turned to Egypt in the south and Assyria in the east. They made covenants with these nations and they tried to find help and solutions with these nations. They looked to these nations to be their savior. And that's why the Lord has to say it with emphasis to them. And He needs to say it with emphasis to us today as a nation, but also personally. In me, in me, in me, O America, in me, the God of thy fathers, the God who has given you this land, this country of yours, in me. Isn't it written on your currency? In God, we trust. In me, America, in me. Don't look to China. Don't look to Europe. Don't look even to Ben Bernanke, to President Obama, or the congressional Republicans. In me is thy help. When the Lord saves someone, so often when there is that season of conviction of sin in their lives, They begin to seek for some kind of help, some kind of Savior to help them out of their misery. What sort of mediator then must I seek for? We read in our catechism. Is there a way of escape? And yet so often we look around us. We look within us to our own wisdom, to people all around us. It needs to come to a point in our nation and in our lives where we say what Israel learned to say. As we read it in chapter 14, the next chapter, verse 3. "Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses." You see, they were going to Assyria and saying, "Assyria, give us more military weapons and horses and chariots and all the rest. Help us with supplies. Help us with military armament. Help us with those things that we need." But the Lord had to bring them to the point where they would say, Asher will not save us. Oh, how we need that in our nation today. That we would cease from man. That we would no longer look to the wisdom of our economists. All the while bypassing the wisdom of the Scriptures. That we would look to our leaders and to our presidents to somehow find a solution. As opposed to sitting humbly at the feet of the Scriptures and learning about this God of whom we profess that we trust in Him. We need to stop trying to pick up ourselves by our own bootstraps. And one way that we will show that we've understood the first step, namely that we are bent on destroying ourselves, is if we start to look away from other Saviors as well. Because when we look at other Saviors, what are we doing? We're basically saying that we still have the wisdom to find salvation in other people, in other strategies, in other wisdom and ideas that man will give us. But where has our wisdom taken us thus far? Only down, down, down. O congregation, has the Lord burned these words in your heart? In me is thy help. You know, the prodigal son, when he was in that faraway country, and he had spent and spent and spent all his living in riotous living, which was nothing but death, he began to be in want. And that's where our nation is today. And maybe that's where you are as well, spiritually speaking. You're beginning to feel that you cannot make ends meet, spiritually speaking. And yet, what did that prodigal do? Did he right away think of his father and think of returning to his father? No. We read that when he began to be in want, that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He joined himself. That really means he made a covenant with someone there, a contract to become that person's day laborer, to serve him. And to do it in such a despicable way by feeding pigs, which, as you know, was anathema, was abominable in that time. He still had not reached that point where he realized that his own wisdom was but folly. And that whatever he did and whatever he thought of would only drag him further and further away from his father, away from the Father's house. Away from a true deliverance and a true salvation. And so he leaned on his own understanding. And he leaned on a fellow man. And he leaned on his own works there as he was trying to make ends meet in that pigsty of his own human efforts. In me. That's what the Lord is saying to you and to me tonight. You and I have destroyed ourselves. In me. Oh, let us look away from everything. Save the Lord Himself. Give me the single eye, thy name to glorify. Oh, turn my eyes away from looking to human schemes and human mechanisms. Help me to look away from obedience to the law as part and parcel of the solution for my salvation. Help me to look away from my church membership and good deeds that I might do. In me, the Lord is saying to each one of us tonight, look unto me. When we begin to cease from other Saviors, you know that in me that the Lord is saying here won't just become something that accuses us because we're looking away from the Lord. It will become something most encouraging and most inviting. In me is thine help. And this brings us to our third and final point. We need to seek help in the Lord alone. Congregation, look at every one of those words. In me is thine help. Let's start with the last word. Help. There is help with the Lord. This word for help in the original is the word that he uses, the Lord uses, when he created Eve to be a help meet for Adam. A most suitable helper, corresponding to him in every specific respect. In me is thy partner, the Lord is saying, someone to help you in your life in every respect, most suitable. After all, wasn't the Lord their husband? He had made himself, in condescending grace, Israel's partner in the promise, in the covenant, in that arrangement that he had ordered in providence in the life of Israel. And here he says, Israel, you have forsaken me, your true help. And you've looked to other spouses and other lovers for help, and they've only brought you into bondage, greater and deeper bondage. I am thy help. I am thy helper true, thy helper in the strife. Why have you forsaken me, your true help? In me is thine help. And he emphasizes that by saying, in me is thine help. Not just this help in general. In me is help. No, in me is thine help. So perfectly suited to you and your needs. Perfectly. As a glove fits a hand. In me is thine help, whatever it is. Do you need peace in your minds and in your consciences because of an accusing conscience? In me is thine help. Do you need pardon for sin? In me is thy help. Do you need comfort in the midst of distress? In me is thine help. Perfectly suited, perfectly matched, without a doubt. In me. The Lord doesn't just say here, from me, with me, by me. In the Lord is everlasting righteousness. In the Lord is everlasting mercy. In the Lord is a perfect help for every need which the sinner might feel and need in his want. In his wisdom, we can find what we need in the midst of our ignorance. In his mercy, we can find relief and pardon for our sins. In the Lord's strength, there is what we need in our weakness. In him. What the Lord means to say here is, in me, the triune God. Because in myself, I have found a way to be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. In me, because of that eternal covenant which I have set up between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I have found a way in me, in me, I guarantee it. It's in me. It's not next to me. It's not in front of me. It's in me, in my heart. In me, there is compassion for you, a self-destroying people. In me is your help. And then that beautiful word, me. When do you say me? The Lord doesn't say here to the people of Israel, in the Lord is your help. In the God who came to you in years past is your help. No, the Lord is standing face to face with this self-destroying nation. And he's saying, in me is your help. He's come so low. He's right there with them. He's saying, don't you see me in my word so low? I cannot come any lower. In me is your help. Congregation, when did the Lord say that most evidently? Most precisely, most clearly. He said it when he sent his son to the cross. You might as well say that over the cross is written in blood-stained letters, in me is your help. Oh, do you hear how the cross of Jesus Christ speaks loudly to us tonight, to self-destroying sinners? What a miracle it is that the Lord comes, and he comes so low, and he says, you have pierced me by your sins, by departing from me and going after other saviors and other lovers, but I'm still here. In fact, I'm here hanging upon the cursed wood for sinners like you, O Israel, who have destroyed yourself. In me is your help. In me is all that you need. In me and in me alone. Oh, how gracious the Lord is in dealing with Israel. How merciful he is still with us tonight, as a nation, but also with each of us individually. We need the Lord, don't we? We don't need a bailout. We don't need a plan to raise the debt ceiling just one more time. We need help in Him. And he is here to say, in me is thine help. And the Lord goes on to show us what that help is exactly. Look at verse 14. He reaches so low, he says, I will ransom, which means redeem, them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. The Lord is in earnest here. He says, O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. You are in the grip of death, of destruction, of the grave. You really, for all intents and purposes, you are dead, spiritually dead, and there's no help in yourself or in anything else save in me. But I will ransom, I will redeem, I will deal with the source of the problem. I will deal not only with the debt issue and the debt problem, but I will deal with the death problem and the death issue. I will be the plagues for death, and I will redeem you from the grave. Where did the Lord do that? Didn't he do that on the cross when Jesus Christ dealt with sin at the deepest level? When we read in Hebrews chapter 2 that he dealt with him, he defeated him who had the power over death, even the devil, in order that he might free those who through fear of death were all their lifelong held in bondage. And Paul sees that the Lord does this in his cross and resurrection when he says in 1 Corinthians 15, death, where is your victory? Death on the cross is swallowed up in victory. There's no longer any sting to death for all those who are Christ's. Remember, the sting of death is sin. Because sin, as we saw, kills. The strength of sin is the law. But I will redeem you, O self-destroying people. In me is thine help. Congregation, as we close tonight, where are you on this pathway to the precipice? We know where our nation is and how we should beseech the Lord that He would show us our self-destruction, and that He would show us also as a nation that in Him, still today, there is that help we so desperately need. But let me ask it of you personally tonight. Have you learned to bow under the real problem? Has the Lord burned it into your soul? And do you say amen to the first part of our verse? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Do you say it with the prodigal? I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy. I am worthy of this pigsty in which I have sent myself. I am worthy of rotting here all the days of my life and into eternity. That's what I am worthy of. I have destroyed myself. Oh, how important it is that the Lord bring us to that point where honestly we confess it before Him and don't hold back anymore. But we say, really, honestly, I have destroyed myself. Is there yet hope? Are you looking to other saviors, perhaps still today? Is the law still something on your horizon as something that may still be able to do you some good? If only I keep these commandments more. If only I more earnestly pray to the Lord. If only I give more to the Lord. If only I would be a better husband, a better father or wife. If only I would try harder. In me. Have you come to the point where the in me is thine help? On Calvary means all the world to you. Be thou my helper in the strife. Have you come to that point where you seek it with the Lord and with the Lord alone? Where you take hold of the Lord by faith and you say, Lord, this is thine own word. I stake my life, my eternity upon it. Lord, hear me in distress. Do not forsake me, but give me this help in my soul. O Lord, do not give me over to my self-destruction, which I have deserved, but make that help real and living and concrete in my life. O be thou my helper true, for other helper have I none. The glory of the gospel, which I may proclaim to you tonight, is this, that God is the God of the self-destroyers. Let other people have their God of the pious ones, of the self-righteous, of the partially righteous people. The God of the Scriptures is the God of Manasseh, who destroyed himself and yet found help in the Lord. The God of the Scriptures is the God of the prodigal, who there in the faraway country showed him his self-destruction, but also whispered into his soul, in me is thine health. The God of the Scriptures is the God of Mary Magdalene, who destroys herself time and time again, possessed of 7 devils. The Lord comes so low and He says to self-destroyers, He says, you have destroyed yourself. But in me is thine help. Notice how He puts the two next to each other without any qualification. He doesn't say you have destroyed yourself, but if you take this much time and you do this much good and you go to Moses and you do all the rest of these things, then I will be your help. He comes right up to the self-destroying people. And in His cross, He looks them in the heart. And He says, you have destroyed yourself. especially in nailing me, your only hope, to the cross, in saying, away with him, away with him, crucify him. We will not have this help. But from the cross, he stretches out his nail-pierced hands and he says, self-destroying sinner, in me is thine help. Perhaps there is some young person here in church. You say tonight, that is exactly my portrait. I've destroyed myself. I never knew it would come to this. Never knew it would lead to this. But I put my name right there. I have destroyed myself. Listen. The Lord puts his name. And he says, O self-destroying sinner, in me is thine help. Perhaps there's some older person here and he says, or she says, listen, if I were young, oh, maybe there would be hope for me. But I've continued on so long on this path, I've destroyed myself. The Lord came so often to me with calls and invitations and encouragements and entreaties to seek the Lord. But the bondage was so strong and I turned my back on him so often. How long had Ephraim been destroying himself? For upwards of 200 years, Ephraim had been destroying himself. Can you say that you're beyond 200 years? If you put your name right there and say, I have destroyed myself, the Lord, he says, I am the God of a self-destroying people. Oh, I know it's offensive. People don't want it this way. People want a God who will at least acknowledge some good in them. But no, the Lord wants us to say it as it is with respect to ourselves. To go lost at the mercy seat of God in Jesus Christ. And he grabs that sinner and he says, you will not perish. No man can pluck you out of my nail-pierced hands. I am the God of the self-destroyers. Perhaps someone says, but I am in the bondage of addiction. Perhaps for some time already. And I've given up all hope. I have destroyed myself. Friend, do you hear what you're saying? That's what the Lord is saying about you tonight. You have destroyed yourself, and yes, you need to look outside of yourself. Don't you hear him saying to you tonight in the gospel, from the cross, in me is thine help. No matter how oft we've sinned against him, still his grace and love abides. But I also have to tell you this. And may the Lord use this to urge you on. In this day of grace, there is a time coming when all those who are destroying themselves and continue in that self-destruction and lean on other helpers, the Lord says, he that is often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh, heed his voice today. You don't know how often these calls will yet come. Oh, flee to him in the gospel tonight and rest your case here with His own word and say, Lord, Thou hast said it. And catch the Lord reverently speaking in His own word. Lord, Thou art the God of the self-destroyers. Thou art the God of Manasseh, the God of Mary Magdalene. Oh Lord, is there mercy? Is there help for me in time of need? Oh, if you lay there and persist there and seek the Lord and do not let Him go. He has said, I will yet be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. I proclaim to you tonight the God of the self-destroyers in Jesus Christ. Oh, flee to Him today. Say, Lord, it is true. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on Thee. You will find He is a helper true. He will not disappoint in this life. He is help. He is the helper. He is help for your debt. He is help for your death in this life and in the life to come. And then you will praise with the innumerable company of saints who were self-destroyers like yourself. And you will say, our help was on Jehovah stayed. From Him our hearts were healed and perfect made. Oh, He is our fortress and our rock, our strong tower, our helper in the strife forevermore. Praise be to this God for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Great God of heaven and of earth, be the after preacher of this Thy word. Seal it to hearts and souls tonight. Bring it into the most inner, the innermost recesses of our soul. Burn the problem, Lord, upon the tablets of our heart. Help us not to look to any saviors, but help us to rest our case at Calvary and to wait Thy precious, reassuring word. I am Thy helper for Christ's sake alone. Lord, remember each one. Be with those who are burdened with sin and do not know where to turn. Lord, hem them in and lift up their faces that they would see Thee as the God in Jesus Christ of the self-destroyers. For Calvary's sake, we ask this in the remission of every sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.